in one meditation he made the whole thing of the spiritual exercises, that is the principle and foundation. So we are going to try to understand it better, talking about it and making some commentary to this powerful meditation. So we pray to God our Father, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, asking him wisdom, and give us wisdom for understanding better our mystery as humans and the power we have for changing everything. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He asked Mary to help us, that she lives these things in fullness from the beginning of her life to the end, because she understood better than anyone the plan of her son, to help us to understand it better in our hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that we are temples of God, that the word of God is wanting to be in our hearts, we have eternal life already, that is the mystery of the communion of the Holy Trinity in our hearts from baptism. We were baptized in that mystery of God, so immerse and plunge in the mystery of the love of God. Give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we read it before, so we know we are talking. Man is created to praise, give reverence. There are more here in this one. You know it. Man is created to praise, give reverence to and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul and be holy. Salvation for them is also holiness. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man, and that they may help him to achieve, or in achieving, the end for which he is created. From this follows that man is to use them, the other things that are created, as much as they help him to achieve his end, and ought to rid himself of them insofar as they hinder him for the goal and for the end. So simple. For this, it is necessary, so for doing this, so for being in that capacity of getting rid of the things that are not helping me, and for choosing the things that help me to get the goal for which I have been created, for this it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things, in everything that is allowed to the choice of our free will, and is not prohibited to it, so that on our part we want not health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, long rather than short life, and so in all the rest, desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end for which we are created, that is choosing the will of God. And this is the first meditation of St. Ignatius, that for him is like a meditation he did at the end for making the whole thing of the spiritual exercises at the meaning of the whole thing. The first thing is that we have a goal, so we are created with a goal, with an end, and that is the ultimate meaning of our life. That is, we are created for serving God, give reverence to God. He used this word for expressing the union with God, because there are also ways. Reverence means the body, the humility of the body, to serve God, serving the others, our Lord, and to praise him. So for giving him grace and praising him. You know, this is, you go to Ephesians 1:4, you will see that he's saying the things of praising. I mean, for what we are created is here. This is the motto of Elizabeth of the Trinity. We are created, so in accord with the favor of his will, so the graces, for the praise, this is verse 6, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he grant us in the beloved, so in Jesus. So we are created for the praise, so praising God, giving thanks, adoring God, for the glory, so the glory is the manifestation of what? Of the favor and graces of God want to bestow us. That is the reason you exist. And you exist for receiving the grace of God that can manifest in your body, in your life, in your behavior, the glory of God, and so you praise God constantly. This is here, Ephesians 1:6. And it's all about that. I mean, it's about these gifts that God wants to give us in his Son. I mean, as sons and children of him. The theme begins, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. So God already has prepared for you every spiritual blessing. Now depend on how you are in heaven with Jesus, because they are in Christ. So this is the expression of St. Paul, your life are hidden in God in heaven. I mean, it's the mystery of God. God is not here, there, God is here. As he chose us in him, so he loved us in him, before the foundation of the world, so God, before he created everything, he chose you. So he loves you. To be holy and without blemish, so he created you for being holy and immaculate, because that means without blemish. So God created you with that, so his plan is that, the eternal plan of the Almighty God, the Creator, and who has a divine providence. Without blemish before him, in love. And he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, so being children in God, so we can receive in Jesus all the graces that he predestined to give us. In accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. So the reason you are created is for receiving the graces of God. That is the reason you are created. But how we are living that, I mean, you know, this is also in the Catechism of the Church. We talk about what is the goal of the end of creation is the glory of God. But the glory of God, as you know, and if you don't know, you are going to know now, the glory of God is the communication of his goodness to you and the communication of his life to you. That is the glory of God. So the whole thing is created for the glory of God. But nobody can give more glory to God than his very being. God is infinite in his glory because he doesn't need nothing of you or me. So the way he created us, that glory of God is manifested for us in the gifts that he wants to give us. 293 of the Catechism of the Church and 294. Scripture and tradition never cease to teach and celebrate this fundamental truth. The world was made for the glory of God. Saint Bonaventure explains that God created all things not to increase his glory, but to show it forth and to communicate it. For God has no other reason for creating than his love and goodness. Creatures came into existence when the key of love opened his hands. This is Saint Thomas Aquinas. This one true God, of his own goodness and almighty power, not increasing his own beatitude, so his happiness, not for attaining his perfection, but in order to manifest this perfection through the benefits which he bestows on creatures, with absolute freedom of counsel, he created spiritual and corporal things. And now the 294 explain more clear what is the glory of God. The glory of God consists in the realization of the manifestation and communication of his goodness. That is the glory of God. So more you let God to give you things, more you are proclaiming the glory of God. As Mary is the creature who proclaiming deeper and greater the glory of God. He's a total transparency of the action of God. He's a mirror that reflects perfectly the action of God. And he here quotes the text that we were reading of Ephesians. according to the purpose of his will, to be praise of his glorious grace. That is, to praise his glorious grace. So the glory of his graces and favors. For the glory of God is man fully alive. That is the glory of God, that you be fully alive. Moreover, man's life is the vision of God. That is the fullness of that communication. Because in that moment he's given us a participation in his own being, and we will see as him when we see him face to face. I mean, and that is the same thing he's saying here. I mean, but it's to now to serve love, God, and then insist serving his love, as Jesus put very clear in all his words about love, saying how you want to be the first, be the server. And what are our disposition for serving? And by this means to save his soul. And the other thing, so here is the point, the other things in your life, your husband, your children, your wife, your intelligence, your faculties, your will, your senses, whatever, the TV, Facebook, Instagram, emails, everything, other thing on the face of the earth are created for man. For what? For man achieving his goal. That they may help him in achieving the end for which he is created. What? The manifestation of the glory of God that achieve fullness in the union with God. Because in the union with God, you are transforming God. You are become God by participation in your soul. Because you can become fire. You become charity in the union with God. You can read St. John of the Cross or Santa Teresa and knowing that that is what is the goal of every action of God, is transforming you in him. In a participated as a creature, but in the level that you let him, because it's all about love. So the way you let God to transform you in love is the way you become God, because God is love. So simple as that. But it's all his action in our souls. So the other things that are on the earth are for helping him to achieve in the end for which he is created. So everything. From this follows, as a consequence, obvious for anyone who is understanding the two statements that he have done, that are obvious for any person who believes in God, follows that man is to use what? The things that are in the world as much as they help him to achieve his end. So the union with God. So praising God, giving reverence and serving God and our neighbor. And our neighbor in God and for God. And he, at the same time, he ought to rid himself of these things insofar as they hinder him from what? From the goal for which he is created. So it's all about, because using, that is the word that he used him, means choice. We don't choose the goal, we choose the means. And we the action of choosing the means are the things that are for the goal. In the definition of Thomas Aquinas, he never used means, he used the things that are for the goal. That what is a mean? A means mean that, something that is for other thing. It's a mediation for other thing. So, and the goal is that. So now we have to use your choices. You are a human because you choose. That is the only reason you are a human. That is the only reason you are a human. You don't choose, you are not a human. You are letting your feelings to destroy you, and you can be the worst of animals that exists in the universe because you can be a monster. As there are many people that are letting their feelings to guide them, and they don't make choices for growing. So God has given us that capacity of now choosing. In the expression of one of the greatest fathers of the church, one of the three Cappadocia fathers, I don't know how to say in English, of Cappadoce, this one of these men, we are our own parents. You made yourself. How? Through your choices. I mean, that is what a father has to teach his children. Any other thing. You choose what kind of person you are going to be. Now my mission as a father is helping you to make good choices. So you can grow, you can achieve happiness, you can have virtues, and you can know God through your growth as a human. Because more you love, better you know God, because God is love. And that is the mission of every human being. And marriage is a choice also. It's a choice of loving a person and giving myself to other person. So all the plan of God is our choices. It's the way we grow. Parents are for teaching children to choose. Children, through the process of education, learn to make their own choices and to have virtues. And now they can become spouses. So they can give themselves to others if they have virtues. If not, it's all a matter of feelings and codependencies and trying to escape from loneliness. That is a very different thing than marriage in the plan of God. Because marriage is a friendship. And how can be friendship without virtues? That is the question of Aristotle that he wrote. Without virtues can't be friendship. I mean, so simple as that. So, but the problem is that because our parents also not working that, because you are not father for teaching your child rules and norms and precepts. No, you are not for that. You are for teaching your child the way of happiness, the way of fullness, and the way of being a man and being a woman. That is the reason we are parents. And that is the union with God, because it's the goal, as we were talking 5 minutes ago. I mean, why Jesus was in the temple with 12 years? Why Jesus, God wanted us to know that his son was bothering his mom and his dad at 12 years, knowing perfectly that he was bothering them and harming them in their hearts. Because Jesus, as you can understand, he was the most loving son that ever exists. So he loved her mom and his mom and his dad more than any child. And he was perfectly intelligent for knowing how much harm was doing there. Why God wanted that to know us that? That at 12 years, this boy was totally aware that the mission he has in this life is doing the will of the Father. That is the reason. He was there. You know that I has to be in the house of my father. That is what you have teach me from littlehood, when I was a childhood, to now. All my life you have been teaching me to do the will of God. And now what God was asking me. And after that, he went for 30 years and remained surrendered to his parents, growing in grace, in wisdom, before men and before God. Why? Because he was always doing the will of God. A mission of a father is opening their children to the will of God, because he's very weak, she is very weak. And that is the problem we have in education, that people are only putting rules. And rules, when I have 12, I hate them. I want to live my life, I want to follow my desires, and my desire is to be loved and to be happy out of God, because nobody has taught me that happiness is in God and that love is in God. So nobody has taught me to open my heart to God. So this is the problem of education also. As other many things that are here inside this problem of making choices. Because I teach my children to make choices and make them understand, you choose wrong, don't complain. You are receiving what you are choosing. So now learn the lesson. I mean, and you have to repeat that 1,000 times, as you know, because children don't learn the things the first time. But they have to understand that you reap what you sow. You are sowing selfishness. You get now anger, frustration, and your future is going a misery. So have this clear. And that is a father for teaching that child, and teaching and helping him and supporting him and being there with the child for making good choices. That is what we are not doing. Why? Because we prefer to have the child in the football, or we prefer to have the child in the soccer, or we prefer to have the children there, because we don't want to teach them. And the way they have to mature. I mean, these things are not bad, football or soccer or other things. The point is what they become, the goal of our life and our relationship with our children. I'm sorry, but it's something that is in this society that is, we don't give quality time to our children. I mean, it's good that one day they play soccer, but not all the days. It's not good that every day of the week they have some activity. For what? For me not taking care of them, and other people take care of my children, making them activities instead of helping them to grow in what? In virtues. That is the mission you have as a father. You are only there for that, for helping your children to grow in virtues. At least dedicate one day, that is the Sunday, but not. Even that, we don't dedicate to helping our children to grow in virtues. Why? Because we don't have them. And now it's difficult to think. But we can change the things and make the things new today, because God is there. His plan is here. It's very simple. And now he goes further. No? The things that are helping me, I make a choice and I use them. For what? For growing in the knowledge of God and in the union with God and in serving God and in being more reverent with God, before God, and praising his graces. The things that are not helping me, and they're here, are very clear. Without controlling Facebook, without controlling iPhones, without controlling TV, without controlling readings, without controlling the things that are there, and you cannot have a real relationship with God. Is clear? Some question about this? Here are we for talking and your questions. Something is not understandable here about this? Go on.
The will of God, there is the general will of God. In the Bible, we can read it. It applies to every person. We also have a personal will of God, perhaps personal talents, In general, we don't want to bury our talents. If we have 5 or 10, we want to double them or better. So anyway, I just hear that, so I'm kind of like, what does he mean? Does he mean the will of God in general, or the will of God particular for my life?
There is a will of God in general, that is the natural law, that is the will of God for everyone, that everyone knows, do good and avoid evil. That is the will of God. The commandments, now you know, the Old Testament is a book about only one thing. I am your God, if you do good. If you don't do good, I cannot be your God, because you are going toward evil. So, all the law of God is saying the connection that all religions make a separation between God and his will. Because all religions are manipulated by those who are in power. The priests and the people that govern the people. And they have changed the law of God. And God came to this world for saying, no, my friends, I love you a lot. But if you want to be me, to be your God, do good and avoid evil. I mean, this is the whole thing of the Bible is only about that. And only about that is only. It's not any other thing. It's do good and I will be your God. But I cannot be your God if you are doing evil. Because you are, I mean, my commandments are not for me. My commandments are for your good. When you do evil, you go away from the love that I have for you, and you destroy yourself, and you harm, and you kill yourself. I cannot do this thing, but I get read only Isaiah chapter 1. I mean, it's an amazing text about, hear the word of the Lord, princess of Sodom. Listen, destruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. He's talking to the people of Israel. That they were as they were, as we are sometimes. What care I for the number of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of whole born rams and fat of fatlings. In the blood of calves, lambs and goats, I find no pleasure. When you come to in to visit me, who asks these things for you, of you? Trample my courts no more. Listen, the words of God, he's saying to the people of Israel. Trample my courts. So about praying and going to mass and doing things, I mean, whatever. Trample my courts no more. Bring no more worthless offerings. Your incense is loathsome to me. New moon and Sabbath, so whatever things of vigils you do, and feast, calling of assemblies, of tapes, of novenas, with weakness, this I cannot bear. I mean, and now listen to the words of God. That is even more. Your new moons and festivals I detest. They weigh me down. I tire of the load. When you, this is the most, when you spread out your hands, for praying of course, I close my eyes to you. That you pray the more, I will not listen. It's amazing. Your hands are full of evil. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before me, from my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wrong. Hear the orphan's plea. Defend the widow, so take care of the poor in your society. And come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Thou, your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. That they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, that is the point we were saying, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I mean, the same thing is chapter 58. It's only one thing, do good and avoid evil. I mean, that is the general will of God. An atheist know that. An atheist that is doing what is good is obeying God. He wants or he don't want. He hates God or he doesn't hate God. That is not the question. God is not going to judge anyone if I go to mass, if I pray a lot, if I am adoring the Eucharist. God is not going to judge anyone. He's going to judge us about how I am doing good and what I am doing evil. How I am using my will for coming to him and loving the others. That is the whole thing. Something, a question about this? Because, I mean, it's very important that we get that, because we try to check box, but it's all about doing good and avoiding evil. I mean, God isn't any other thing. I mean, if we are not doing that, I mean, what is the meaning of anything that we are doing in a spiritual life? I mean, it's about love, of course, because that is his commandment. So, but everything that we are doing, the mass, the adoration, everything is for letting God work in me so I can love as He loves. But if this is not happening, so I am not in the disposition of changing my heart and converting, all these things are useless. It's clear the point? I mean, it's not for bothering anyone. It's because God has created us for choosing and growing. I am a human because I choose. Now, there is a personal will of God for you, as for me. That is your, the divine providence, your life. Now is the things that He's given you in each moment of your life in which He has a concrete, personal, holy will for you. And this is whatever is happening in your life in every moment. There is the will of God. Nothing can happen out of the will of God for you. That this guy in your work is a weird guy. That this guy driving is another weird guy. That your wife is not so nice on days. That your children are... Everything is the will of God for you. For what? That you make choices and you grow in the goal for which you have been created. In praising God, in being reverent and serving now God in your children and your wife and the people He's given you. And it's very concrete because it's your life. And every life is totally different. So the will of God for everyone is totally personal. Because it's the way you become holy. It's the way He makes you holy. If you open to Him, because we insist, the will of God is not, I have to do the will of God. No, the will of God is all the gifts of God there. It's the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, that is the reason we always, when we talk about the will of God in Christian terms, we use, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is our Father. But it's the same when Jesus was talking about the divine providence. Look for the kingdom of God, so the action of God in your souls, the Holy Spirit coming to you, and the righteousness that God is looking for you in this moment. And every other thing will be given to you. And that is very concrete, because it's the divine providence working in your life. Something to say here? I mean, for clarifying or something.
Keep going.
No, but I mean, it's clear the point, no, that it's about my choice. My choices. It's about what I choose. I mean, because, and that is what St. Ignatius put very clear, because he understands that being a human is having the capacity of choosing what kind of person I am, how I praise God, how I give reference to Him, and how I serve God in my life. And now bringing my soul to the union with Him, that is the same thing. You can put the goal of human life is the union with God. You can say knowing and loving God is the same thing. Or this expression of Saint Ignatius that is more concrete for him. And more for him, more because he's talking humility, so reverence in the body. So being with the body, a kind of reverence, that means reverence, serving God. That is, and praising Him, giving thanks. It's just as necessary. It's our duty and our salvation to give you thanks, so to praise you always and everywhere. That is our duty and our salvation. And He, last meditation, we will see that is how that, giving thanks to God. So, and now come to the point of what are the spiritual exercises, because that is understood by even by Aristotle. Aristotle understood that our choices are our life. We choose well, we become better people. So, because virtues are not something that make my actions better, make me better. So, bring my humanity to the fullness of its power. And that is a natural level. You don't need grace for that. This is what Aristotle understood, is the creation of God. He was a guy very intelligent, but all the others, Plato, Seneca, Cicero, Socrates, or however you say in English, I mean, all these guys all said the same thing as Aristotle. Any of them contradicted Aristotle. The perverted guys of this society, the sophists, yes, the sophistic guys, yes, but the people who were looking for good and making their lives better, I mean, and they don't have any revelation. They understand the human nature, and they understand that happiness depends on virtues. And virtues are choices. I mean, and you can talk with every person in this world about Aristotle, because he was a pagan. I mean, was a man that don't have revelation, and he knows that God exists because he was very intelligent. His metaphysic brought him to the natural knowledge of God as the immovable motor, as the first cause, as a lot of things. He understood that God was there, but at the same time, he was saying, I cannot have a relationship with God because God, the nature of God surpasses infinitely mine, so I cannot have a relationship with Him. What we know through revelation. But all these things, he get them by reason, because he was a really intelligent guy. I mean, that's when Thomas Aquinas discovered Aristotle, that came to him through the Muslims, I mean, he understood that this guy has the reason, and he took him and put him inside the philosophy and the theology of the church. Why? Because he was a purifying him in the things that he has to purify, because as everyone, he has some mistakes. And he also took Plato, so he was so intelligent, Thomas Aquinas, I mean. For getting in that disposition, that using the things that are good for, I'm making a choice, and the good things that don't bring me to the end, I mean, because that are means, things that I use for the end. And in the plan of God, have this very clear, in the plan of God, everything that is happening in your life is for making the choice of coming to him. It's clear? Because he's wanting to come to you, but he comes to you in the measure you come to him. Is clear this point? I mean, but now it's his divine providence that he doesn't want to do the things without you. So he doesn't want to bring you to the union with him if you don't desire him. That is a choice. That is what he put on it. So we desire and choose, because your choices are coming from your desires. So what you desire is what you choose. What is your goal is what you are going to make your choices. And that's the reason we try to make two meditations for understanding what are the goals of my life. Where is my desire of being loved, and where is my desire of happiness? If my desire of happiness is not in the union with God, your choices are going to be according to your desire of happiness. If a person has the desire of happiness in money, he's going to make all his choices, essential choices, for getting money. Now maybe because he knows that there is a God, make a tithe or some things for escaping from the problem and trying to resolve the problem of his heart. But I mean, your God is where you, the end of your life, what you are looking for happiness. And now all the choices we do, but what is good for a man who is looking for money? Everything that helped me to achieve my goal, what? More money? No? And all these his choices are going to be there. What is the goal for a man who is looking for sex? It's all what the things what bring me to sex. So all the things that give me pleasure. So all my choices are going to be connected with my where is my happiness. The thing is that when your happiness is not in God, you change. Today is pleasure, so maybe sex, or my satisfaction eating. Now is my will, and because it's not, I am in anger. Now is more having more things and buying things. I mean, the problem is that when happiness is not clear in the only place that it is changing constantly. It's polytheism, and that's the reason now he makes this second part of the meditation of that is very important is for this for making the choices well, and it is necessary to make myself indifferent to all created things. Have this, the words he uses, they are measure and they are weight. I mean, it's not something that he said. To all created things, in everything that is allowed to the choice of our own free will. So in the commandments, I don't have to have any indifference. And the commandments of the natural law, I mean, they cannot have indifference there. For your wife and your marriage, you cannot be indifferent there. You have made already a choice. Now you have to grow there because it's the plan of God for your growth. Education of your children, I mean, now the choices are for how I do it, but not that I can make choices because they are not allowed in my will. So it's not about everything. It's in the things that are not prohibited or are in my own choices, or things that are in my free will for choosing. For example, Facebook, TV, watching movies in Netflix, reading this book or reading this other book, because this is a whole thing. In your life, you can read only how many books? 1,000. I mean, there are, I don't know how many millions. You have to choose the books that help you to grow. The books that help you to be a better person. If you choose other things, okay. If you are involved in that matter, you can read this for making a critic, but I mean, we have very short time for the choices we do in this life. So, but here comes everything, as you can understand. How I am dressing, and this for women is very important, how I spend my money in jewels or in other things, and the things that I am spending, the things, this is very concrete because it's about everything that you are making choices in your life. How much money I spend in the things. I mean, you know, the Mother Teresa was a woman that he came to her, was a very rich woman, and she has, I don't know, rupees, is the money of the Indians, of rupees. India?
Rupees.
So, and this, the saris that the sister have are about 4 rupees, something like that. And this woman was dressing dresses of 500 rupees or something like that. And come to Mother Teresa and say, try to buy dresses of less, so you can help other people to have been not naked. I mean, and the woman give steps, first vote of 400, 300, and he was much more happy getting less expensive dresses. I mean, it's a choice. It's a choice of what I want to do in life. It's in that moment he met Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa invited her to make choices about her dressing and the way of dressing. But that is very important because we spend a lot of money in dressing. I mean, we have a lot of shoes and we want more. I mean, and there are people who are bare feet. I mean, they have not even a shoes for walking to the school in Africa and in India. Where I mean, more shoes. Okay, I mean, the thing is very concrete, as you can understand. It's not about general things. It's about everything in my life, how I'm choosing it for coming to the goal for which I have been created. That is, you can say another way, loving God and loving my neighbor. That is charity. So that on our part, and this is the hard point of this meditation, we want not health. I will put another word here. Health rather than suffering. Because the problem is suffering is what makes us fear. He's talking sickness, but sickness and suffering, but there are many kinds of suffering. So we can understand it in a very physical way. Is that we have self-indulgence better than sickness, or my pleasure better than suffering. And in that moment, when things are harming you, whatever, you're going to get upset and angry, and you're going to lose God. So you don't make yourself indifferent, you don't have the disposition of facing things. I mean, people, when they think that they are have some problem of health, it's a kind of neurotic thing that worry and concern. I mean, you are going to die the same. You get worry or concern or not. I mean, and the moment God wants for you is the moment he has eternally designed for you. You are very worried or you are not very worried. That is good to take care of our health. Yes, it's good. But the other thing is being obsessed, this society is obsessed about health. I mean, and in the moment that something is happening, Santa Teresa of Avila have an expression, sisters, we have to swallow death. Why? For what? For not having fear. Seek riches rather than poverty. If you are attached to riches, I mean, you cannot follow Jesus. Because why? Why? You are going to hear it from the words of Jesus. Luke 14. I mean, whatever thing you are putting before God, you cannot find God. I mean, it's impossible. Because the first commandment is teaching you and me and everyone how we get God and how we don't get God. Luke 14. Great crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and addressed them. So he was not talking to the disciples, or to the apostles, or to the intimate. No, he was talking to everyone. Great crowds. If anyone comes to me with, you know, the expression means not loving more, because the Jewish have a translation that they don't have the word sometimes, and is hating his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That is the first statement that he makes to the great crowds. So you love your father, your mother, your children, your wife more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because you are not loving them. That is the problem. So the problem is that when you love God, you love wife, you love your wife as Jesus loved your wife, until giving the life for her. And the same with your children, and the same with your mom and your dad. So putting God first is not for not loving, it's for loving in a true way. And finish with the God. In the same way, everyone of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Mm-mm. But I have to renounce them physically. No. Some people I have renounced to them physically, I hope. But no. But you have to renounce in your heart. So being in the disposition of giving them to God if he asks them for them. I mean, if you don't have that disposition, the attachment to money is one of the worst things that exists in the life. It's a matter of the heart, and it's not a matter of what is happening outside. It's not a matter if I am going to get sick or I am going to have sufferings. I don't know. You are going to get sick sometimes, and you are going to have sufferings. The problem is, if I am not indifferent, when the thing happens, I am going to get upset and angry and fearful and where is God and all these things that separate us from God. So I insist in the point because we continually go to think about what is going to happen because we are so, what is going to happen. I mean, you don't know what is going to happen, but in the moment you make choices about these four things, you are totally free. You have the total freedom of the heart. And you can be always in the refreshment of the Holy Spirit and in the action under the Holy Spirit. You don't make the choices, okay? You keep your ego working always. You think that you are going to find God? I don't think so. I mean, the things are very difficult when we put things before God. And that is what it's saying. Eh? Honor rather than dishonor. So my prestige, my good name, the desire of being loved. I mean, and there is a reason St. Ignatius make these decisions that are not only there. And several meditations that he come there. And we look Jesus in his passion. And I continue looking for my honor. Okay, good. But I mean, am I following Jesus? When he choose to be dishonored? She choose to be humiliated? Because he choose, I don't choose. You are going to be humiliated along your life. And you are going to have moments that you feel dishonored. But if you don't choose that, you are going to get upset and angry and frustrated and not forgiving a person for a month or a year or 25 years. And you can understand, no relationship with God. Why? Because my honor, he touched my dignity. He touched my, we choose where we are, but that is why nature is inviting us to put our heart in this position and long rather than short life. The meditation of death is one of the most important meditation. We didn't have time, but if you don't face death, you don't face God. It's the same thing. And we are fearful, but I can read the text here of saying that is what is the whole meditation of death. It's Hebrews 2:14. I read to one of you, but it's amazing text. Hebrews 2:14. I mean, if we are in fear of death, means that our relationship with the resurrection of Jesus is not very clear. Because Jesus came to take away the fear of death. Hebrews 2:14. Listen to the text because it's amazing. He's talking about how Jesus is the Son of God. I will put my trust in him. Behold, I and the children of God has given me. So the children of God is us that we have been given to Jesus. Now, since the children share in blood and flesh, he, Jesus, likewise share in them, what? In our flesh and in our blood. For what? That through his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil. So Jesus died for destroying the one who has the power of death, the devil, and free those who, through fear of death, had been subject to slavery, to Satan, of course, all their lives. People, and that's what is happening in every human heart. Or you face death, or Satan has a lot of power in your fear of death. And it's you. I mean, it's something that he came for what? For rising from the dead and teaching us the power of God over death. I mean, I tell you about my mom when she died. I mean, I was very lucky because I was there in Spain. It was a chance that I was there, well, providence of God, of course. But I was there, and my brothers were not aware. I was visiting because they were old, and I go to visit them each 4 months, 3 months. And I was with her, and I saw that I had seen so many people that are going to die that I was... She's going to die, and I commended to my brothers. We were have a dinner the day before, and I told them, "Mom is going to die. She's not going to pass from Christmas. She died the 1st of December. She's not going to pass from Christmas. I mean, she's very weak. I mean, she's losing all her strength, and she has fear to die. I understand. She was a woman of faith. I mean, she was an amazing woman of faith. I mean, her life was teaching us faith. I mean, and teaching us to open to Jesus and to God. And for her was the most important thing in her life was that. with difference of all the other things. I have never been my mom looking for anything. And she was really an amazing, beautiful woman. I mean, I can show you teacher, this seems to be. So, but was a woman what was focused in her family and in her marriage. That is what I can understand from her all my life. But she has fear of death. Why? Because when she was little, her older daughter and her younger daughter died. In that time, people died more because we were talking about the 20s, 1920s or something. And you have a tuberculosis, almost you die. So, and that for a girl was a lot of fear. And also he was in the civil war in Spain from 6 to 9 years. So imagine the situation that there in the persecution that was to the old Catholics by the communists in Spain in these 3 years that was the war of Spain, was a persecution, a religious persecution to the church. And that was the war in Spain. And he escaped with her sister for going to a, they were in what is called the communist area, and she went to the, through boat only with her sister to come to another area of Spain with other children who were going to France. So yeah. I understand her fear, but I was always surprised of that fear knowing the faith of my mom. I mean, and the moment I was there, the last night I saw her so weak, I told her, Mom, do you know that if you accept death as an act of love of God, your dad who is coming to you, and is coming to you for bringing you to him, and you accept it with your whole heart, not as a accepting or loving what he wants for you, you know that you don't pass purgatory? And she was there. And hear me, I mean, because the next day he was very joyful, as always. My mother was an amazing, joyful woman. And he was there, and the next morning he wake up, and they were helping her to dress, a woman who was been 57 years in our home, a gift of God for our family. And she told her, Pilar is the name, do you want to have breakfast here, or in the armchair, or do you want to go to the kitchen to have breakfast? He said, and my mother looked to her and said, I think that today I'm not going to have breakfast. He closed her eyes, and was so peaceful, her dead, that the woman thought that she was slept. And he called me, Armando, come here, help your mom to move, because I cannot move her. And I went there, and when I hold my mom, I said, she's already dead. I mean, the mystery of the providence of God that want me to be there for my mother, that fear, that was a psychological, normal fear, because her childhood, he can in that moment conquer and offer herself totally to God. This is the power of God. I mean, God works that you can't imagine. Even the hairs of the head are counted. The problem is that we have so little faith. And these things, the problem thing is that they separate us from God. And so San Ignatius, when he's trying us to bring these things that are four things, death, suffering, poverty, and prestige or honor. You don't face these things, you are ruled by these things in your life. You face these things, you can conquer them, and you can live always in the action of God, in the power of God, and make choices that make you grow and grow and grow each day more. But these four things are here because are essential dimensions of human life, of every human being. And so in the rest, he put in case that there are more things. I mean, desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end, so for the union with God, which we are created. I mean, the logic of this position cannot be more simple and more easy. But now it's our choices. Because as you know, this is all about your choices. All about your choices. You don't make choices. You remain in what you are. Because the problem is that we have original sin. And original sin is an inclination. It's a prone to be putting myself as God in everything. Putting me in the center of everything. That is original sin. You will be as God. And that is working in your heart always, as mine, because it's an inclination God permitted for our purification and our humility. And it's expressed in three dimensions, that are the desire of the eyes, the concupiscence of the eyes, wanted to be seen by others and seeing others, curiosity about the life of others, Facebook, for example. The desire of the flesh, that is all the thing of my pleasures and my things and my tal, and the pride of life. And these things are in every human heart, but at the same time, Saint John says, these things are against the will of God. And that is what San Ignatius is trying to find, the will of God in everything. Because I insist, the will of God is very concrete for me and for you. If you want to know it, God is always there. He's almighty. So you want to know the will of God, he will show you his will. Not only now, for your whole life. I mean, but do I want to do the will of God? I am choosing for the union with God. That is the will of God, because I cannot get the union with God out of the will of God. And the point here is that these things that we have inside that are contrary to that will of God, we can learn to open them to God more quickly or slower. St. Ignatius invites us to do it quickly in spiritual exercises. That is the reason he did then. St. Ignatius, when he talked about in the annotation at the beginning, he talked of the spiritual exercises at the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive dimension of spiritual life. That, you know, is the way usually the authors of the spirituality divide the spiritual life. For what? For bringing quickly to get there in the union with God. As you will see in the last meditation, it's all about that action of God in the soul. But I mean, now depend on our choices. Everything is in our hands. Any question? You want to add something?
I do have a question. So when you're, let's just say that the virtue, whatever the choice that you have, it's still, there's many choices that are still good. They're still in the virtues. How do you know what the will of the Lord is when both of those are good choices?
The will of the God is always about your reason. So we have a weird idea of the will of God. The will of God is following what is the truth and what is best. Why? Because I can choose watching a Netflix movie. Is good? Is bad? No. How is going to be bad that? But can I do better things in this life? I mean, I have to choose about that because I have, because I mistake and I have Prime in Amazon. So I can watch, they cheat you. I mean, they did get me. I mean, because I didn't any time click something for having Prime, but I paid the $120 that they did get you for having Prime. And I now I can watch all the movies that I want. I have to make a decision. I say, no movies. Why? Because there are amazing things to do in this life instead of being wasting 2 hours watching a movie. I mean, it's my choice. I'm not saying that that has to be your choice, but it's my choice because I want to be with God and the movies don't give me nothing. Nothing is nothing. A moment of them being like kind of stupid, being other things that if you are critical, the movies are stupid. 99% of movies are for saying, this is for very, very stupid people. I mean, is that true? I mean, if you are critical, how the things are, I mean, it's something that you say, what is this, please? Where you are not thinking that anyone intelligent person is going to watch this, because it's something crazy.
Yeah, I think the Father Tim Gallagher said something to respond to you that Father Tim Gallagher wrote books about discernment of the spirits, and he said, you don't need to have discernment of the spirits when you choose bad or good. That's easy, but between two goods, as you mentioned, you reminded me story that one priest in Slovakia, he was rock climber before he became priest, so another rock climber came to him that he was climbing with his friend, and his friend fell down from the rock, and when he came down, he realized he's not going to make it. They were far away in the woods. And so he had the choice. And he said, I want to stay with you as a friend because you are not going to make it. On the other hand, I want to go and get help. But I'm afraid if I will get help, you will die alone. So both of that, he wanted to get help and wanted to be with friend. He realized, but am I just giving up on giving chance and maybe I find somebody on the way who can help? So he decided, I'm going to get you help. And when he came back, the friend was dead. And he couldn't live with that. He said, I abandoned my friend. So he went to this prison and said, did I cause evil? Did I do evil things? Because, you know, and he said, no. At that moment, you do the best you can. Both choices are good. God is not going to hold you accountable because you cannot predict. You can assume he is going to die. But you do the best what is possible. And that's why Ignatius Loyola, at AMDG, at Mayor and Gloria, it's for, would you choose what is for greater glory of God? What is for greater glory? Is
there anything? Yes. You are looking for the greater glory of the God, of the union with God, in the 99.9999% of opportunities, you know exactly what you want to do. you are looking for the glory of God. If you are not looking for the glory of God and the union with God, or praising God and serving God and living in reverence before Him, in that case, if your will is not oriented toward the goal, it's difficult, I would say impossible, to know what is. Because we are not going to choose the will of God. We are not going to choose. I mean, you put these two things, the will of God and the union with God, and you know always what you have to do. In this case, it's a very difficult case. I mean, and it's not about good or evil. It's about two goods. And making a choice that is something that you cannot predict what is going to be the result of the choice. But you are always moved by good. I mean, supposedly you are moved by good. I mean, the human will never can choose evil. That is what is called a sin. But about good, there are differences. And Saint Ignatius, because he wants to get the best, that is the union with God, as all the saints, he makes choices for getting there.
Ignatius Loyola had this moment, funny story, you can probably tell it better, when he was going with this guy, he was going on the donkey, and this guy was offending, he was not a believer, he was offending Blessed
Mother. A Muslim.
Yeah, Muslim, and it was offending Blessed Mother, and he was so angry. He said, Lord, he wanted to kill him. And he said, I don't know what to choose, as he was coming, the road goes, it won't go in this way. And he said, Lord, I let donkey to choose. If he goes to the right, I kill him. If he goes to the left, I want him.
He was just converted. So he was in all the fury. I mean, because we are in the 16th century and they have the sword. I mean, this time, killing a person was not so difficult as now. I mean, the people, I mean,
the
fighter.
That Ignatius, the early years?
Yes, he was in that because he was insulting our mother. He was a Muslim and he began to say things and he getting.
So did he go right or left?
Yeah, go to the left.
So the Muslim went the other side. So they
donkey saved his life.
Donkey made the choice that he was. Yeah, but this case, I mean, in this case, it's obvious that he doesn't have to kill the guy. I mean, the good was not killing the guy. I mean, in that time, because the honor and these things that were very important for these people. I mean, now honor in our society is a little thing. So
many times, these difficulties that we want to do the choices can lead us into scrupulosity. And Ignatius suffered with the scrupulosity. He wanted to know everything. And it started to torture us. Again, that's why in those moments we need to allow God. We will fall down. One of the ways, even why we are not, we'll never choose perfect, even discernment of spirit, nowhere we would choose, is because God teaches humble, humility. You know, there's a great book by Father Thomas Dubay who wrote Authenticity. Because even there is a danger for us to grow to see spiritually that I can be spiritual like nobody is so good as me spiritually, and this can lead to pride. And he was talking that there is a progress in our life. His father was talking about this purgative illuminative unity stage. We are not awakened, but many times when we awake, usually after we awake and we start to be aware of our duties, we start to practice simple duties in our family life. I go to church. I was not going to church. Now I'm awakened. I started to practice more. But then there is greater awareness, which is spiritual awareness of God's presence. And then I started to grow even spiritually. I started to grow spiritually. And then I learned, later I will learn, hold on, there is a discernment of the spirit. I never knew it. So I started to learn discernment of the spirit. As Father gave us, there are two stages, if you caught it yesterday. One is for when you go up and down, and when devil cannot, when you master it. Ignatius said, don't teach those second week until people learn to practice it, how to battle with consolation, desolation, because you need to be willing to receive consolation. You cannot create it. You have to learn to receive. But if you too early start to consider, well, sometimes even devil can give you good consolation, so you can be disturbed during prayer. Say, well, is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it devil? You know, and you start to analyze during the prayer, and it disturbs you, so it's not good. But let's say you master first steps, you are going to second step of the spiritual discernment of the spirit, and you can think like, well, I'll tip the reach the top of the mountain, and Dubay said. And then God may withdraw from you ability to discern. What do you do then? you may be able to be attached to that pride that you are doing. And that's where we are coming, that's where I would say Carmelite spirituality comes. There is a passive purgation. When the first active purgation is me eliminating myself through the virtues, trying to practice the virtues. But no matter how I will grow in my will, many times my limited human will not let me to put myself into situation. So God will allow me to be. He permits, He creates situation which I cannot do anything. It's like a passive purgation. I have to learn only accept it. Only say, Lord, here I am. Because when Ignatius Loyola, you had this prayer, Suchipe, when he said, the Lord, take my liberty, my memory, my understanding, he already gave external things. External, he gave up. He lived a life of poverty, simplicity. But he was giving him even interior and said, take away my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. But that's how he ends it. John of the Cross, when he speaks about dark night of the soul, dark night of the senses, first dark night of the soul, he expands a little bit similar way, because he said that God gives us those faculties, they are a gift. Understanding is a gift. And many times when we are awakened, when we enter into the purgative state, like, wow, I didn't know that. So you suddenly have understanding even in spiritual things. That's the first awakening. So it's a gift, understanding. Memory. Many times the memory is the great faculty which God gives us. Many people, when they come awaken stage and they realize, I never knew God was constantly within me. I was just not aware that when you look back, even in memory will tell you, God was utterly near. I was just not aware. And the will, you use the will for your old selfish greediness. Suddenly you are awakened and you choose the will to love. To love. But when you are coming through passive purgation, those three faculties have to die, have to be in the darkness. God will take away understanding in order that faith can grow. Because if you want more understanding, you lack faith. So he said there is a dark night of the understanding. Understanding has to be in the dark. You don't even understand, Lord, but you put me here, your faith is growing. You don't have a memory, but the memory and hope and the will, you even will choose before love, but you are in a situation you would never will or choose to do that, yet you are in it in order to love your love, absolute, total love, be there. So John of the Cross in this, I think it's sixth book of the, sixth chapter, second book, elaborate on that. But when you look at the Saint Ignatius Loyola, his experience, spiritual experience, and John of the Cross are the same. It's the same voice of the shepherd. It's the same God, same spirit. But they, that's how they summarize it. One of the good books to read about this is A Fulfillment of All Desires by Ralph Martin, when he takes life of the seven saints or something like that.
Yes.
And he compares, look how this saint experienced this stage, how this, and it's a beautiful way how he described it. But Ralph Martin, on the beginning of his book, said he was already doing missions around the world as a Catholic. He was traveling around the world, mostly Eastern Europe. And one day he was in Zurich. Well, we call it Zurich. Zurich, in Switzerland, an airport. And he took the book of the Saint John of the Cross. And he started to read it. And he said, this is so negative. This is so negative. Pull it aside. He didn't have a taste. He said, I didn't understand what he's doing, what he's talking about. Later, as he grew spirituality, when he opened John of the Cross, he said, this is heaven on earth. This is beautiful. Because he grew more. So he was ready. And now he realized that even he didn't have a language at the time, because, of course, it's an older book and it's translated literally. So he tried to put this book into more contemporary language, but he took lives of the saints and said, it's beautiful. The dark night of the soul, as John of the Cross is saying that, or it was Jordan Allman in his book Spiritual Theology, said, many times our temptation, when we're coming to that total trust and total surrender, and we feel like God has abandoned me, or where is he, whatever, we want to go back to the previous practices when I felt like heaven and earth and hallelujah, And he said, that's bad, because in a spiritual life, there is no way even stagnant. You have to always progress. And Father mentioned it today. You always have to grow for, because if you think that I'm going to wait, you are going backwards. There's no way you are. So that openness to that, what God brings to you, he's always creating, always inviting us into situations that we can grow. So John of the Cross says, it is impossible to reach the union of God, transforming union, without going through the dark night. It's impossible. Well, but that's a big realm of the spirituality. But you know, it's the progress of discernment of the spirit. But then we can be in a situation with God withdraw ability, but we need to learn to trust and say, Lord, I did my best. I don't even know how to discern, but it keeps us humble. But we need to still go. It's like when you, many people say, teach us to pray. You know, but we like steps. We like to have rules and follow that. But the best way is to pray. Pray. Like when the child starts to walk, you want the child to walk. It will fall down, yes. But you will not, after five times, fall down. Oh, I'm going to protect my child from the falling. I'm going to hold him and protect him. No, you're not helping to develop the child. So you need to let the fall be there for the child, helping to get up, whatever. But the way of learning is we need to do it. We need to pray. We need to dedicate. One of the simple way is to look at the three things. We need to have sacred time. What is sacred time? It means you cut in your schedule time for God, period. Has to be. If I cannot cut every day time for God and call it sacred, it means I'm not going to go on Facebook during the time. I'm not going to pick up the phone during the time. It's like here, if you don't dedicate this time for God, we can't. He's not my God. So it has to be sacred. Means sacred is dedicated only to God.
Not reading,
not talking to my wife, not planning, not scheduling things, and not prayer of petition, only, you know, whatever. Lord, help me with my wife, with my children, with everything. I want to be with you, Lord. This is time that I want to be with you, okay? That's sacred. Then sacred space. You know, like, look here. Look at this is nice dining room. And many of us have dining room. We dedicated dining rooms. We spent $3,000, $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 on our furniture. And we meet there on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we dedicate whole room to eating twice a year. But you can dedicate part of your house to God. And dedicate it. It can be table like this. But it's dedicated. It's sacred space. It means I don't put coffee on that. It's sacred. I don't put my phone on it because it's sacred. You put crucifix, Blessed Mother pictures, prayer, Bible, whatever, candle for light, but it's dedicated to God. But we have to have that. We don't have time always to go to chapel, whatever. And then sacred devotion is not my planning. Again, it's the disposition, as Father is saying. My disposition, I am here. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear you. In silence, solitude is dedicated. Again, sacred time, sacred space, and sacred devotion. That's, you know, but again, it's not I need to follow the rules and steps, but it's one of the helping way how we can pray.
No more questions?
What was the overall title or theme of the first meditation?
The first meditation was the desire of being loved, opening it to God. So the foundation and principle of this one,
you mean? Today, yeah.
Principle and foundation.
Principle and foundation, you mean this?
Yeah, that's the title of the...
Yes, meditation. Principle and foundation. It's okay. Number 23 of the spiritual exercises. There are numbers there for... So this is a page that can help you also. The value of adversity, how everything can be used for coming to God and making choices of growth. That is connected with this. I mean, it's all about choices. But the adversities and the trials of life are in the plan of God for our growth. Everything. Even when I am pregnant or when I am with a leg that is not working well, or when my finger has a pain because the nerve is working here. But... So thank you. We can pray a Hail Mary and asking Mary to help us to desire more God as she desired Him always. I mean, it's, the love of Mary to God was something amazing that she can contagious us in our hearts if we kept her in our hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have also the night prayer. If you want to pray it, is your opt.
And something else, as the Father said several times, stay here. I mean, mentally, don't go. Many times people are on Saturday evening and they're already in mind packing.
Yes, thinking.
Don't go there. Don't pack in your mind. Don't pack physically at all. Try to use the most time. This is a gift. It is truly a gift from God for us to be there with the Lord. God has given to us to understand even our own battles, our weaknesses. Because many times in a busy life, we don't even know how to face it. Most time you learn about yourself, you come closer to God. How weak we are, how dependent we are on Him. And this is beautiful awakening of where we are in relationship with God. So don't panic. But because we have a change in the schedule tomorrow, we are starting here
at 8
o'clock with prayer, okay?
We pray here the
morning prayer,
and
then we will have meditation. Father will give us another meditation.
Yes.
So, but we will have only like a 2 hours between then and Holy Mass. So, again, with the spiritual directions, you talk to the director, but I would suggest those people who are with me, we'll just move everything a little bit earlier at 9. Okay? We were starting at 10 because we got Mass and morning prayer. Now we are a little bit, we'll not have a Mass, so we'll start at 9. And those who want. If you don't want, it's fine. Because it's not important to meet me as a director. What is important to meet God, you know? He's much more than me. But if you want to talk about your battles, whatever, I'll be more than happy.
Me the same. I mean, the thing is, if we those who come to talk, make it shorter, but who has less time, can make it the same schedule that we have, but making it how... The important thing is that you talk about... you have done the prayers, and what are the gifts God has given you, and how you battle your prayer, moment of prayer. That is essentially spiritual direction in spiritual exercises. It's about that. So how I am working my prayer life, because you can make a lot of improvements here. And what Peter was saying, keep in the present moment, keep here. When you are with God, that means being in the present moment, you conquer everything. And you have joy, because you are with God. And God is, my soul rejoice in the Lord, my Savior. I mean, and God wants you to rejoice in His presence now. Try to keep there, because if you do it now, you will do it at home. If you don't do it now, you will not do it at home. So simple as that. So it's, you work now and you make the virtues for keeping now. Outside, you will do the same. The spiritual exercises begin when you live here. This is the moment of your spiritual exercises, when you live here, from here. In that moment, you have to work your own by your own selves. So, courage. God is there with you, always. So, try to keep your heart open to Him in the little things that we are doing.
What was the petition that we're looking for